And welcome to the Tales from the Long Box podcast. This is episode 129, comic book news. I am Chris Mosby.
I am, in fact, Taylor's card. Indisputable.
Yes.
And I am still Murray Fox.
Yep. Oh. First of all, let's see. As we said, comic book news, we're going to go over some April solicitations for DC and Marvel. And chat about each. Lots of changes, especially in DC. Lots of cancellations. New things starting. Two weekly series starting for DC. And please excuse my voice and or coughing in this level. The rapid rise in temperature has made me a snot-filled mess.
I do have to ask Marie a question now.
All right. Yep. Let's hear it.
Marie, have you read Justice League 27 yet?
Yeah.
That was good.
Yes, after 27 issues, Cyborg gets to do something.
That's not quite what I was referring to, but okay, yeah.
Yes, the Doom Patrol is there too.
Oh, okay. Kind of what I was referring to, yes, okay.
Yeah, they really put a showing in for them, didn't they?
And those were Cooperberg Doom Patrol characters, right? Scotty and Karma, right?
Yes. Yep, they were around in the, the Kupperberg, Lytle, Larson run. Mm. And they were killed off there, too, just before Larson took over.
Huh.
They were not resurrected along with every single freaking other member of the
Patrol. Yeah.
No. I think Karma was killed off. I know Scotty was, but
I've never been.
Karma might have just run off, and if he wasn't killed off in Doom Patrol, he was probably killed off in like a crossover at some point. He's dead, but I don't remember.
Gods or something.
Well, technically, he doesn't exist.
What?
Or was he one of the ones that was killed? I don't. Go on. I don't know that much about Doom Patrol. That's one of my ones I'm not that much up on. So.
That was the only time I was reading it regularly is when first it was Lytle and then Larson on Cooperberg, Kupperberg, whatever his name is.
He's going to be at that Kansas City convention I'm going to in March. Yep. I bought a comic off of him off of eBay, too.
Really? A Kupperberg comic?
Yes. Yes, an adventure comic.
Was it one of his comics?
No, it was not. I thought that was interesting. He was selling other comics, I guess, from his collection. It was a good price, so I went ahead and got it. So, here we are, comic news, book news. We're going to start. Oh, I never did give you guys those links, did I?
Whatever.
Here we go. Let's do Marvel first. And boom, link away. And here is DC. Okay, lots of new stuff for Marvel as well. Pardon me.
Yikes, people.
I know, we're dying.
Yeah, see, because it was like down to like 3 one day, and then 2 days later, it's been 60 for the last 3 days, and I'm like, just nasty. And then I'm going to be in Springfield, next week for corporate meetings, and they're supposed to get down to 3 again. And so if I survive till next Friday, I'll be surprised without a sinus infection. But anyway, here we go. Enough about the levels of my snot.
More. I'm pretty pleased with sugar. Yeah.
So, let's see what we got here. We're using Newsarama's wonderful top 10 lists and what we learned from Marvel's April 2014 solicitations. There's all kinds of stuff going on. They're redoing series from number 1. Peter Parker's back. That's the biggest thing. Don't know how yet. That's all under wraps. I guess they're, according to the picture here, they're borrowing from Dallas in the 70s is who shot Bruce Banner. Wade series with Hulk. That wasn't as good as I was hoping it was going to be. That was kind of weird. Yeah, it was boring, so I stopped reading it. I think I got one I bought. I haven't read yet. But anyway, here we go. Apparently, they had a lot of info. They had to whittle it down to 10 from 22 possible entries. So here we go. Wow. Jumping in, DNA returns to Guardians of the Galaxy for the prelude to the feature film. I have the trade of the Valentino run coming, the first trade, in the mail soon.
That picture they used of the bald Amy Pond, that is so sad.
Yeah, yeah, because she's going to play Nebula in the film. But anyway, apparently they are returning to Cosmic Avengers for three stories in April. First off, we'll be seeing the DNA team with artist Wellington Alves, never heard of him, to write a prequel to the forthcoming movie titled Marvel's Guardians of the Galaxy Prelude. And I also just read that, now I don't know why, but I saw, while looking for these, I saw a little snippet that apparently Mr. Stan Lee is not going to do a cameo in the Guardians of the Galaxy movie. Might be due to the travel involved to going out to outer space, so I'm not sure. But anyway. If that wasn't enough, DNA is writing, well, just keep reading. There's not much word yet on the content of these stories outside of the one centering on Nebula, which is played by Karen Gillian in the film Pictured, which is, as he said, Amy Pond with no hair. Let's see. But given the creativity DNA brought to the team, the first time they touched down Newsarama, and I as well have high hopes for his return engagement. Thoughts, gentlemen?
I didn't think they were writing together anymore. I thought I read somewhere that they were not. Either way, I mean,
I've seen solicitations for them on solo stuff. So, I know Dan Abnett writes that Wargaming, what is it, 40,000K Warhammer, whatever. It's a lot of those books by himself. But
didn't we note last week that we saw Lanning's name as an inker on something?
Yeah, it seems like it. But I'm not 100% sure it's the same guy. I didn't know he was an artist.
Oh, yeah, they're the same.
Okay.
He's an inker writer.
No, I had no idea. Okay, well, I would imagine that a big, fat paycheck from Disney probably brought them back. but that's just guesses on my part. I hadn't heard that, so.
It's good to see them get some. Yeah, it's good to see them getting some credit for the work they did with this team.
Didn't really care for what they did with on the Legion, but what they did with Guardians of the Galaxy, I still have two of those trades I bought that I haven't read. So yeah,
I beg to differ. Their Legion period was awesome, but
I didn't like it. But that's just me.
I loved it. It took those Archie kids and made them into real characters and grew them up and gave them some.
I just thought it was too much of a copy of the Borg. The whole blight thing, but that's just me.
That's just what started it. Then they just kept going right into.
Well, yeah, they went to Guardians of the Galaxy after that.
Yeah. No, but I mean, their Legion run had like tons of. Yeah they had the Borgy thing, but then they explored so much of the 30th century.
Didn't they do Legion World? Legion Lost, or
they did Legion World and Legion Lost and Legion.
That I actually did like.
Did they do all three Legion World minis? Okay,
I think so.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't remember. We'll get that up. Okay, next up, number 9, Kick Ass is over with Kick Ass 3, number 8, which I didn't even know there was a Kick Ass 3, but apparently there is. I still haven't watched that movie. I've got it, but I still haven't watched it. Mark Miller and John Romita Jr.'s epic that has spinned off series and two future films so far comes to an end. The finale is 48 pages and will, as seen in the cover, heavily feature both the titular character and the breakout star, Hit Girl. The more interesting part of the solicitation comes at the end. The milestone double-sized issue marks the end of one era and the start of a new Miller World universe. Will there be a direct tie-in with Kick-Ass that teases one of Miller's new series in 2014? Yeah. Anyway. I don't know. That it was cool at first, something about that. I never did really get through to the second. I think it was the fact that all work on that book stopped during he making that film, and it's I think he just did that to make a film, but whatever. So I kind of dropped out of reading that, even though I had Romita Art. That was my draw more than anything. Mm-hmm. Any thoughts on that, gentlemen?
No, I haven't read any of it, actually, so...
Well, it was... That's the one where they used viral marketing. They put this thing out on YouTube of some kid dressed up in a superhero outfit beating some people up that were beating up on another guy, and it was all a fake to get, you know, press for this book. And I got... Somehow I got swept up into it and was fooled.
Sucker.
Yeah, I was a sucker. So anyway. And it was actually some good writing. It was just... all of a sudden, like, two issues came out. He got a movie deal, and then it took, like, another year at least for the rest of the series to come out. And I got some JMS flashbacks, so I didn't read any of the others because they had a Hit Girl series and, you know, all the rest. Anyway, I believe last month, or actually, I don't know when, I guess it would be last month's solicitations, they were saying that they have a new Iron Patriot book, but apparently in issue number 2, you know, one of the tropes I really hate these days in comics is they got to do, and somebody dies at the end of this issue, and apparently they're doing it again with James Rhodey Rhodes stepping into the spotlight. Apparently, second issue solicitation ends with, and James Rhodes dies. But hints earlier at the Iron Patriot suit being controlled by an outside party. And here's an interview here, but there's a jury drawing. Perhaps Rhodey is James Rhodes Jr., making his father James Rhodes as well. Blah, 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 yada, yada, yada. Anyway, that's kind of cheesy.
I don't read Iron Man. I've barely ever read Iron Man, and my only real exposure to these characters is either through word of mouth or through the movies. So, yeah.
I actually read Iron Man for a good while when it had the red and white armor, but I've long since sold those comics for store credits of various comic shops I have dealt with over the years. So
upsetting.
Yes, I sold comics to buy more comics. That's how it worked. Let's see. Apparently, which we've seen some of that in Battle of the Atom. Apparently Wolverine, it says Wolverine school dropout. For the past few months, Marvel and Wolverine series writer Paul Cornell have been teasing some dire straits for Logan in 2014, and it all looks to be coming to a head if you read the solicits for April's Wolverine and Wolverine and the X-Men. Logan is leaving the Jean Grey School for Higher Learning, which that lasted a lot longer than I thought it would anyway. Solicits for number 4 says it all. Why did Logan leave the Jean Grey School? Your answers are here.
He failed.
Over in Wolverine and the X-Men, we see Storm stepping to the fore in place of Wolverine in one cover, literally standing over the broken image of the school founder. See. Wolverine and X-Men writer Jason Latour hinted at the turn of events when he was announced as a series' new writer. The covers for the Wolverine titles in April literally puts a face on it. Why, you ask? Logan will be losing his healing factor. According to Wolverine number 5, solicits leaving him to change the way he operates, which I already thought that he had lost that, but apparently not. I haven't read any of the Paul Cornell series, so.
He has. He is healing power. He's healing less now.
Mm-hmm.
he is killable, as they as the storyline.
Yeah, that's right, right.
So does that mean he's not a mutant anymore? Isn't that his mutant power?
Yeah, actually.
Do they stop being mutants just because they don't have the ability to do whatever it is that made them a mutant?
It depends on how it happened, I would guess. Because when they did that whole thing with House of M, when the witch said no more mutants, I think it literally not only did it take their powers but not make them mutants anymore. But I don't know for sure. I'm guessing on that. I haven't read that. So, there's that. Now, have either one of you seen the Wolverine movie?
Nope.
Okay, well, I won't spoil it then. Because...
Well, I mean, it's been spoiled already all over the internets.
Yeah, that about his claws?
Yes.
Yeah.
But I actually, for a while there, I had kind of lost interest in what Cornell was doing in Wolverine.
Mm-hmm.
But that syllable storyline was actually really good, and it ended on a good note, because he'd gotten his ass whooped by Sabretooth and some hand ninjas, and
never done that before.
Make the choice of getting his healing factor back. And, you know, potentially exposing the world to a threat by using his body as an incubator for this disease that had taken his powers away, or not getting them back. And he stepped up as Wolverine is supposed to, very ninja-like, or not ninja-like, samurai-like, and said, nope, I'm going to go without my healing factor.
Huh, interesting. Well, all right, then.
And that's a little weird. Will be losing his healing factor? What? He already lost it.
Yeah, I know. That's my thing. Because, I mean, in Battle of the Atom, his supposed descendant cut him up pretty bad. So.
Yep. But he still has the adamantium, you know, which I thought was poison, but, you know, that's a...
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah.
That's a different story.
Next up, yes, Superior Spider-Man is ending. So, Superior Spider-Man number 31 does carry the series finale tag, and it ends all speculation about it continuing somehow, right? Well, not quite. Of course, this incarnation of the series is ending, but we're still not completely convinced that Amazing Spider-Man will be the only ongoing solo Spidey series. Sure, we'll see some final fate of Otto Octavius here, but if that's one thing for sure, it's Dan Slott plans ahead, and he does not let things go. So basically, there's another Spider-Man in New York, still presuming he doesn't somehow get back to 2099 in the next 5 issues. That means Miguel O'Hara needs a new role to play in the modern day, which, if I'm not mistaken, in the New Warriors book, that one from the Ultimate Universe is in that. He's one of that team. But anyway. There's also the fact that while he messed up a bit along the way, Otto, for the most part, did reform and did a lot of good in the last year and change. So yes, Superior Spider-Man number 31 is the series finale, but it doesn't mean have us convinced just yet that it means that we won't see all new Superior in May. Interesting.
I read it slavishly every couple of weeks. And I've enjoyed this twist, and
I still got to catch up with that.
Dan Slott is pretty cool.
Yeah, I've heard a lot of good stuff. Well, all the stuff I've read so up to this point in all those trades I've got stacked over there that thank God didn't get ruined. That's a good deal. I'm looking forward to reading through those.
It's fun. I mean, that's the thing. People keep complaining, you know, the new DC 52 isn't fun, and this book or that book isn't fun. Well, Superior Spider-Man and the Spider books in general, the ones I read at least, are in fact fun.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree.
And I think that's great. I think, I would... I would share the trades of the Dan Slott stuff with my older kid, maybe my younger.
Yeah.
So, right. I'm not sorry to see it gone. Just, you know, I'm glad that Dan Slott is still continuing.
I think he's their one of their golden boys right now. Okay, next up, apparently there's no series finale or issue tag on the two spinoff series, and Superior Foes of Spider-Man and Superior Spider-Man Team-Up. Instead, the 12 issues of each seem to be business as usual for the most part, although Team-Up is a unique flashback story with Peter and Otto teaming up in the past. Losing Superior Foes would certainly make many members of our Best Shots review team sad, and you, the readers, would agree. You voted the series number 8 on a top 10 best current Marvel Comics not 1 month ago. It's possible both books will see a bit of retooling after the end of Superior Spider-Man, but they appear to be safe for now, at least.
Well, Superior Foes doesn't... I mean, it doesn't matter who's in the spider mask for that one, right? Because it's...
I don't know. I haven't read it.
Bad guys? On the bullet, so, yeah. I mean, they can still be Superior Foes, whether it's Peter or Miguel or Dr. Octopus. Like, they're still the foes.
Yeah, they're the only tie to the main book is that word. So
yeah,
they can continue to use it as part of the title because why not?
Sure.
Okay, next up, What If returns as a 5-part weekly series on Age of Ultron.
What If the original series was interesting? What if?
Yeah.
What if?
Wow. What if Age of Ultron was better than it should?
What if we tell Age of Ultron in 2 issues instead of 8?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. There we go. Let's see. Many great fiction stories begin...
They did do that, Murray.
Oh, that's true. They did, didn't they? Oh, let's see.
It was called Days of Future Past.
Yeah, that's right. Fiction stories begin their life when writers ask what if. And in April, Glory co-writer is beginning that question in the popular Marvel series of yore back for a 5-part weekly series. Yeah, I don't really understand why they're doing this. But anyway, fresh off of Marvel Knights Hulk by this point... Keatonage will delve back into the 2013 event series Age of Ultron and posit how things might have gone had events played out differently. Instead of it being squarely about Age of Ultron, this 5-part series looks into a series of one-shots, imagining how different the Marvel U would be have turned out without a founding Avenger. Issue 1 shows Marvel Universe without... Oh, this is really boring. Issue 1 shows the Marvel Universe without the Wasp. Issue 2 shows a world without Tony Stark. Issue 2 shows a world without missing Thor. 4 without Captain America. And issue 5, there was no Ultron.
Well, let's take a sidestep there and remind Marvel, Rama, and in fact Captain America was not a founding member. Or New Avengers, but that's just a...
True. Very, very true. In fact...
He didn't come in until the 4th issue.
Yeah.
Right.
Yep.
True. I think it actually would be very... to do a 1 or 2-parter, what if Hank had stayed dead? Because that was actually part of the Ultron story that was interesting.
Yeah.
For the first... for the first part. So... for the first act is what I mean to say.
Until the Wolverine from the future... No, wait. Yeah, the Wolverine from the future came to kill the Wolverine from... No, wait. It was the Wolverine from the far future came to kill the... No, that was 2 different universes, wasn't it?
Hey, yeah. Can I ask you a question real quick? Side note. Are we still recording?
Yeah, why?
Okay, because your voice changed, and usually when that happens, the recording's getting... Bar, so.
Yeah, because yours changed on my end. I heard you drop out. Yeah, I can see the thing going.
Okay.
I'll double check and make sure the files are too.
Okay. Sorry, I heard a change in timber, and I thought.
No, that's cool.
And I don't mean the pit bull timber. I mean the timber of your voice.
Yes. Let's see here. Where do I have it going?
Timber.
Yeah, it's still there. It's still file size is still growing, so.
Okay, good. All right. Sorry. Go on.
All right. Let me check.
Wolverine from wherever the hell he was from.
Yeah, there was two future Wolverines came to the past, and the first one killed the second one because, you know, of course, they couldn't both live there together, and yeah, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, it was pretty meh. And now we have the number ones of spring coming out number one in April, which is funny because they're adding a bunch of, well, no, I think they're adding more titles than they're taking away. Marvel is. DC is about equal. Here we see a brand new Amazing Spider-Man number one, with Dan Slott and Humberto Ramos.
Humberto Scali?
Yeah.
That would be an amazing book.
Yes. But the Legion is still canceled. So, anyway.
Yeah.
Maybe if they got Boutros Ghali to write it, it would actually come back.
Yeah, maybe so. We also have a Iron Fist, Living Weapon, Elektra, Hulk, Nightcrawler, which I'm actually looking forward to because I've forgotten how much I like Nightcrawler. The series Inhuman, and it says in parentheses, finally, and an all-new Dupe, which, whatever.
Doopity-doop-doop-doop.
For the record, that's one mid-run relaunch, one that hasn't been around in a year and a half, and five that are either brand new or haven't had a series in several years. While all of these were announced well before the solicitations, there are still things to note here. For instance, the solicitation text for Inhuman number one, now being written by Charles Soule, reads completely different from the Fraction version from a few months ago that was originally debuting this month, as in January. Hulk gets two issues this month, and Amazing Spider-Man only gets one, though there is still another Spidey issue, number 31. Keep the two per month thing going, plus both are 64 pages each, and I'm probably $12, I'd imagine. Now, how matter how you shake it, Marvel has definitely been dedicated fresh starts for the last 2 years of Marvel Now promotions, and April is blah, 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 blah. Okay, whatever. Daredevil. So, oh, what?
Elektra and Nightcrawler are supporting characters. They should not have their own ongoing series. And the Dupe one is just it's a goof.
Yeah.
It'll be it. So I do not hold out much hope that either Elektra or Nightcrawler are as long for this world.
Yeah, depends on how well they do. I forget who was. Wasn't Claremont going to be doing the Nightcrawler?
I'm even more confident that it's not long for this world.
Yeah. yeah.
And of course, Amazing Spider-Man will be around forever. Iron Fist, if they pull a Hawkeye or Daredevil with it, then it has legs.
Yeah, they're going to change the way the character is from what I read. How he acts.
Charles Soule or Soul or whatever. Soule. But he's been doing some really great stuff over on Swamp Thing, so I will be interested to see how he runs with the Inhuman cast.
Yeah, that should be interesting.
He's writing like a million books, though.
Yeah.
Yes.
Like he's got two or three at DC, and
yeah.
I want to say two or three at Marvel, and he's got his own independent stuff. He's a busy dude.
Let's see. Next up, now, I don't know if we've covered it on
the other. And he's got a chicken franchise, something on it.
Chicken franchise. Woo.
Yes.
I don't know if we covered it before, but the current Daredevil series ends, I think, next month with 35. And there's going to continue up with the same creative team. And Murdoch goes to San Francisco. Sam. What?
Mm-hmm. Oh, the sound came back.
Yeah. Yeah, you've been cutting out a little, too.
Okay, let's not point fingers, gentlemen.
I'm not saying it's his fault. I'm just saying somewhere I have
chat. Pull this podcast over.
Yeah. So, anyway, make a long story short, they're going to do Daredevil 1.5, Which
no,
fast?
No, 1.50.
Well, I'm seeing 1.5. Oh, well, yeah, down there it's the same. Anyway, 1.5 or 1.50, however you way you want to look at it.
It's 50 because he's like 50 years old.
Yes,
now.
That's right. It's the 50th anniversary of Daredevil in 2014, and April Marvel is doing something unique during the occasion, showing what Matt Murdock would be like at age 50. Now, if any other person wrote this, I don't think it would be interesting, but as we all know, I'm a big fanboy of Mark Waid, and he's joining Javier Rodriguez on this story, and it's a 40-page one-shot to his 50th birthday. See how the Red Devil turned out, who's still alive to celebrate the special occasion, and who's not. Marvel's also promised some backup stories by special creators from Murdock's murky past, so we could see the likes of Stan Lee, John Romita Sr., Dick Ayers, Jerry Conway, or perhaps even Frank Miller, David Mazzucchelli, and Brian Michael. I massacred that name. Brian Michael Bendis, Alex Malev, or others. Oh, and they're also going to give it 6 variant covers.
Yep.
Which means it's somewhere in a drawer somewhere, just like what DC did. They've got a Frank Miller Daredevil drawing sitting around that they're plugging into a cover.
Yeah, that's exactly.
Which they did. What they're doing with the Batman thing with the Frank Miller Catwoman drawing, which is a 10-year-old drawing he did of Batwoman.
Yeah, they put it on Detective Comics. I still haven't read that. I refuse to buy that at $8 though. I have it. I have acquired it around other means, but yeah, I didn't pay $8 for a digital book to read that. Even though it's probably good. Okay. Let's see. Brian Busy Bendis assembles anniversary issues. This is number one. Brian Bendis assembles is a busy guy. So what does he do in April 2014? He writes not one, not two, but 3 oversized anniversary issues. First up. Alphabetically, all new X-Men number 25, regular artists.
That's amazing. They've squished out 25 issues since it started like last year.
Is that
last week?
Last week.
It hasn't been around long. Like,
no.
No.
Let's see.
No, the guy's a machine, and he's really into this X-Men stuff. So yeah, he probably could have cranked out more issues if they would have let him.
Yeah. Let's see. Regular artist Stuart Immonen is joined by a surprising lineup of artists, including Art Adams, Bruce Timm, which surprises me, J. Scott Campbell, Scotty Young, Raphael Grandpa. That's what it says, Grandpa.
Mm-hmm.
And always popular, and more. It's a heck of a lineup, 40-pager, which I'm sure is also $17, and leads into the return of Future Brotherhood in the double shipping issue number 26. Guardians of the Galaxy number 14 marks the 101st issue of a series called Guardians of the Galaxy. Yeah, I'm sure it does. And since the 100th issue comes during the crossover with the last series we just wrote about, they're celebrating here. It's the 48-page special issue for the low, low price of $24.95. Nick Bradshaw comes as an artist. I'm making that up, people. I don't have any idea how much it costs, but I'm sure it's going to be expensive. 48 pages, you know, that's a lot.
But his name really is Raphael Grandpa.
That's what it says. I mean, I couldn't believe it. I don't know if you know, it might be pronounced differently, but Grandpa. Nick Bradshaw comes on as artist, and we see Agent Venom and Captain Marvel joining the team.
Ooh.
Captain Marvel? Which Captain Marvel?
Lady Captain Marvel.
Oh, that Captain Marvel. Yeah. What? Yeah, she's there. I see her.
Oh, Carol Danvers? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Let's see. There's more. 2 backup stories by Dan Abnett and Annie Lanning, the writers who lost some money. Yeah, we already know that. Finally, there's Ultimate Spider-Man number 200, the only issue of the Spidey's Adventures in April. Guess Miles Morales' Ultimate Spider-Man is kicking off in May. Issue sees Brian Bendis joined by almost every, and there's a typo there, so I'll add the Y, every artist on the series so far, Dave Marquez, Mark Bagley, Mark Brooks, Stuart Immonen, and David LaFuente. And sees the past honored as at a memorial for Peter Parker, while the current cast, led by Miles, looks to the future. There's another 48-page one-shot. Biggest surprise endings of the year. Now we know Marvel has been, ever since it, the dead means dead in the Ultimate Universe, but could this spell some hope for the Ultimate Peter Parker?
Nope.
For the love of God. Okay, so that's all of that. Thoughts on that, gentlemen?
I always like to see anniversary issues.
Yeah, they're kind of cool.
I like them, even when they're kind of... Even when they're, like, Ultimate Spider-Man has not had...
Now,
I mean, they're close to 200 issues, but...
Somebody explain to me who the hell this Agent Venom is. I've been seeing him, and I keep forgetting to ask.
Flash Thompson.
Okay, the one that got crippled in Iraq?
Yes.
And so he's better, and somebody gave him a suit like Venom? Yeah. And
He has the Venom symbiote.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. So he's only better when he's wearing a suit.
Well, in, recently in Superior Spider-Man, Doc Ock gave him working legs, but I don't know if that's... I can't recall at the end of the story whether that particular story point stuck or not, yeah. But
well,
as long as he's bonded with the symbiote, he can walk and play basketball or whatever. But,
okay, well, that then, so I guess it doesn't have some of its other powers because that character's been around for a while and he's been using machine guns and stuff. So is he like... Well,
no, he's fully powered. Matter of fact, I think he was recently... He's also a member of the Secret Avengers, and he's been in Thunderbolts, and he's doing all the symbiote things, you know. Though he's under control. He's not, like, crazy eating people symbiote. He's under control symbiote.
So what's the deal with the pistols, then?
I don't know. I haven't read Venom itself.
Okay.
But in Thunderbolts, which I do read, he has not been using guns. He's just been going in there and beating people senseless.
Oh, well, that's so much better.
Well, yeah.
Okay, anyway.
And Flash Thompson is now a really nice guy.
Yeah, I kind of got that when... Okay, let's see. Project Rebirth, bonded with the symbiote recently acquired by the U.S. government after Mac Grand's arrest after the siege of Asgard, while bonded, Flash was able to reproduce his legs and had powers comparable to Superman. Was sent to Eastern European country Norviskatan to recover Dr. Emick, a specialist in developing weapons made from Antarctic vibranium. During his mission, he encountered a jack-o'-lantern, was trying to recover for his boss, the Crime Master, blah, 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 blah. So anyway, I guess he's like an agent of the government then.
Yes. And he's an Avenger, and he is...
Well, everybody's an Avenger, I mean...
Well, good point.
Jeez, I mean, you know... Okay, they let in Wolverine, everything else is... Because, I mean, he's like a freaking killer. I mean, we all know this.
But the Secret Avengers, that's their thing, is they're going out and doing the wet works that the Avengers won't do.
Yeah, that I remember. Okay, I actually read that first one, I think. Anyway, okay, what we learned from DC Comics April 2014. Oh, cancellations abound!
Yeah.
Let's see. There's a little promo at the beginning. I don't care about that. Okay, first off, Batman Eternal finally launches. This is a weekly series from the writing team of Scott Snyder, James Tynion IV, John Layman, who is leaving after four issues, Ray Fox and Tim Seeley, which that should be good because he's a good writer. Not that the others aren't, but yeah. Snyder's got... Go ahead.
Kyle Higgins now is on it too.
Yes, I just caught that briefly while looking this up. So Kyle Higgins is on there. That's good. First month starts with a bang. Commissioner Gordon is arrested for a murder he didn't commit, I would imagine.
Oh, what goes around comes around. You go on your daughter for... attempted murder, and now it comes to bite you in the ass.
Okay. Let's see. We got Stephanie Brown first.
You're a forgiving guy there, Murray.
Yeah.
Oh, no, no. I'm Mr. Grudge.
Okay. Let's see. First new appearance of Stephanie Brown in the New 52. Mystery Batman villain, first appearance in the New 52.
which a mystery Batman villain?
Which shouldn't be too hard to figure out, because you just got to go, okay, here's all the villains, who hasn't shown up yet, but anyway, apparently it's a mystery. They've all got all kinds of interviews and crap going on with this one. What I was really surprised about was, well, we'll get to that. Now, apparently, Marv Wolfman has been writing Superboy, at least the, which apparently, I'll just read what it says. Marv Wolfman's run on Superboy just started in December, writing a story of the new, original, quote-unquote, Superboy, that is to say the evil villain who happens to be the future son of Clark and Lois, whose clone has been running around as Superboy for the first 2 years of the New 52. Now, did I not read that Superboy is dead? Nobody knows. That's why
they... I think they've killed off the original New 52 Superboy, although killed off is in quotes. I don't know if it was a permanent killing off.
Because he was a clone of this Superboy, apparently. I don't know why Lois and Clark's son went rogue, but I don't know if I really want to even care. But anyway, apparently Wolfman... I'm sorry, go ahead.
I will say that Wolfman's run, the two issues that I've read, it's been very readable.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I'm not very invested in the characters. I admit it. I never really cared for the Superboy character in this version. The Kal-El. I really did enjoy it. I don't know if you recall the early issues of this series.
Yeah, I liked it better.
It fell off for me when it started tying too closely into the Titans and the culling crap. But
yeah, me too.
The two issues I've read of Woman, I thought I was going to have to grit my teeth through them, but I did not. The guy has found his footing again, at least at the moment.
Let's see. Appearing to this in April, though, Wolfman is no longer writing the series as Aaron Cooter steps in to write a Forever Evil tie-in.
Cooter?
Yeah. Featuring evil Superboy and his quote-unquote allies from the future. No word from DC yet whether Cooter is the new ongoing writer or just on for the month. I am not exactly enthusiastic about that. Okay, so we have a ending and a beginning. So in the same month, Justice League of America ends with number 14. Pardon me. When the Justice League Canada title became... they changed the name of Justice League Canada to Justice League United, which I kind of like better. No offense, Murray. It's still going to be taking place in Canada, I believe.
That's fine. They can take place in Canada. They can call it whatever they want. That's fine.
Let's see. The Zero issue debuts in April, and several characters from the two existing teams were missing on the revealed covers for JLU and Justice League. They may have been some hope for Justice League of America to continue. Not so, says April's solicitation. JLA 14 in April bears the final issue tag. The last issue of the series will be from Matt Kent, which I've been enjoying his stuff in these books. Eddie Barrows, and should establish the future of some characters from the book, but that's not only... The only cancellation in April, not by a long shot. And on to the next one. Here we go. Nightwing, Suicide Squad, Superman Unchained, which that is not a surprise at all. That is like...
That series still going?
Yeah. It's like they only made it to... Snyder... Yeah, 9 issues that Snyder and Lee... did, and I'm sure there were lots of lateness involved.
Honest to God, forgot that series existed.
Well, I didn't read the first one because I knew that, Jim Lee's going to write it monthly, whatever, or draw monthly. But apparently with issue number 9, which took a year and a half to do, I bet. I really don't know. Anyway.
I don't think it's slipped from the schedule all that much.
I have no idea. I'm just being a...
I don't think Jim Lee has done full issues for all of them. Like, they've had, I think, some backups or guests.
Shocker.
Artists, but I think it's been fairly regular. I haven't been following it, but
yeah.
I haven't heard that it's slipped.
Yeah, okay, so with Dick Grayson...
No, I had neither. I just had forgotten that it existed. It just,
yeah.
There was nothing about it that ever jumped out of
me. That's one of those ones they made a big freaking deal about, and then when it came out, it was like... Ew! And they said, let's not mention it, and then hopefully everybody will forget about it. That's what it seemed like to me.
I'm disappointed to see Suicide Squad go, though.
Yeah, I actually been reading the tie-ins with Forever Evil, and those have been actually pretty good.
I suspect that, just like with Nightwing, it's a consequence of the story, but there's more to come. Because obviously they're not going to dispose of Dick Grayson Nightwing. I do not believe that.
Well, they're not going to dispose of Dick Grayson, I don't think. But I think they are going to get rid of the Nightwing persona. Well, I don't know. With them, they copyrighted it not too long ago, when they usually do that, with the rumors being that they did that because Nightwing's going to be in the new Superman versus Batman movie, which is the working title. And there's even been rumors of Dick Grayson showing up on the Arrow show. So, I don't know. Maybe they're going to – which they talk about that in another article that he's going to be blonde and, what you know, whatever. So, anyway – which, this is what I found interesting, though. You know, because we got through talking on Facebook how Kyle Higgins leaving with number 29. That kind of is, like, interesting. He might not have known. He knew it was ending and didn't like what they were going to do, so that's why he quit a month early. Or, I don't know. He didn't know. But I found it kind of odd that he's been on every single issue, and then he quits one issue before it ends. So it makes me think that he didn't like what they were going to do.
Or Nightwing 3, just like his run. I don't know if he left or if they asked him to. I think they were done with him rather than him being done with the book.
Yeah, they just.
But I would guess if they're not keeping him on to the final issue is probably going to be the change in direction or the turning point, or even if it is the final issue, it's really a first issue tryout for whatever happens to him next, maybe. Yeah.
It's written by the guy that, which in the article about Nightwing ending at 30, it's written, number 30 is written by the guy who is writing that Talon series, which I find that to be more likely, that they get rid of Nightwing and bring in Talon instead. They do things that don't make sense, so whatever.
Bye-bye Teen Titans.
Yes, that isn't mentioned. That was announced, earlier on Newsarama. But also they are, canceling Teen Titans. And, Suicide Squad, we said. Superman and Chain. That's right, after the original quote-unquote first 9-issue story by Scott Snyder and Jim Lee, the series will come to a close. Stormwatch also ends in April, but it gets its own entry later, which is the most disappointing Jim Starlin book I've ever read. And apparently Doomsday for the Superman title. Superman Wonder Woman has kept a relatively autonomous... it's on its own. Since its launch a few months back. God, I can't freaking talk. That looks like it'll change in April as the other series in the line catch up to the events of Forever Evil and see what Superman is up to in the world after the series' disasters. Now, I don't know if it was on Facebook or on the deal, but Lex Luthor is apparently going to be in the Justice League and Superman is not. And they mentioned that in here. Doomsday has been central to the mystery of the Phantom Zone barriers, which I stopped reading all Superman stuff a while back, so I have no idea what this is about. So anyway, apparently the Phantom Zone's barriers have been breaking down since the first issue, and now he's busting out, but not just there. Also in Action Comics and Superman. Of course, each of those three titles will also have their own angles to cover, as Actions also sees Superman versus Lex Luthor, with Luthor now as the leader of the Justice League, and Superman sees our hero dealing with craziness in Smallville and Kandor. Uh, Okay.
Superman Wonder Woman has been good. Charles Soule.
Wonder Woman. Superman and Wonder Woman, you mean?
That's what I said.
Oh, okay. I missed that Superman part.
Yeah, Superman Wonder Woman has been good. And the most issues have been almost self-contained, but there is a storyline that's been running in the background of all of the issues so far. And I'm glad to see that they're going to culminate into something that's going to tie all the Superman books together. Though I'm surprised, given it's Superman Wonder Woman, that Wonder Woman's not going to be
in the book. Yeah.
It's not going to be tying in. The Wonder Woman title doesn't tie into it. So
I don't think Brian Azzarello wants to tie into anything. I think he wants to.
I'm fine with, because I finally caught up on that book recently, and that's a really good book. It doesn't need anything from the DC Universe.
No, and I get that. It's just the title of the book is Superman Wonder Woman.
Yeah. I agree.
Take a couple minutes and acknowledge, you know, they don't even acknowledge the rest of the DC Universe barely in Wonder Woman. So
no, they don't at all. Yeah, you're right.
Which again is fine. It's just it's oops, sorry.
It's all right. Okay.
Well, and they don't need to, because they're off in Europe, and it's all taking place on the other side of the ocean, so they don't run into the regular DCU all that often. But
DC Europe?
Yeah.
Yep. DC Europe is self-contained.
Now, this one's interesting. Apparently, they're going to do... I don't know if this happened in the digital series or on the show, because I still haven't watched the majority of Smallville, but apparently Green Lantern Superman, it's been toyed with in Elseworlds stories and in many a fan fiction, but Brian Q. Miller is bringing a new version of this tale to life in the ongoing Smallville digital series, which continues the continuity of the television show of the same name. The long-dormant Green Lantern ring from Sector 2813, not 2814, 2813, the former home of Krypton, searches out a new bearer and finds none other than Kal-El, our Clark Kent, Superman. Yeah, we all know that he's all three of those. We don't need to put that, because that's a very awkward sentence structure, putting it in there. Listen to me talking about grammar. That must be bad. Anyway, only a four-issue story, so don't expect Clark to be handing out of this ring for years to come, but it does show just how much Smallville stands apart and their ability to try something generally different and new. Okay, interesting. Batman and Wonder Woman, The Quest for Damien's Remains. This ought to sound good. The ongoing series that used to be Batman and Robin continues to move through the DC Universe. And in April will feature Wonder Woman, who, along with her own title, team up with Superman, Justice League, and even a Wonder Woman in Justice League Beyond. That should be good. Looks to be getting a serious push with five titles in 1 month. It's no Batman, who covers four releases in just one title. Anyway, whatever. The reason for the team-up is pretty grim, though. Batman's search for his son's dead body brings him to Themyscira, where Wonder Woman will also be in her solo book that month. It sure seems from these solicitations that the DC Universe is a much more cohesive and inline place, but everybody on Paradise Island was turned into snakes.
As perhaps we should have read ahead in these solicits before we were commenting on Wonder Woman's lack of continuity.
Yes, exactly. I'd forgotten about this until just now. And it shows him holding snakes, so yeah. Interesting, yeah. Well, now we see it. Okay, now this one's interesting. Gail Simone is writing Ragdoll again. And it says, are you a Gail Simone fan? Are you a Gail Simone fan who misses Secret Sex? Are you a twisted individual?
Secret Sex? I love Secret Sex.
Secret Sex.
Hey, now.
Do we have to put an explicit tag on here? No, I'm just kidding. What was this?
Paging school board.
Yeah. Basically, she is reintroducing the Ragdoll character into Batgirl with issue number 30. And apparently he kidnaps her roommate Alyssa, which, if I'm not mistaken, is transgender. That was the big controversy a couple months ago, I think. Not that it matters. I mean, you know, whatever. So, yeah, it's Gail Simone, it's Ragdoll, it's Batgirl. Yep, line up at your LCS now. Well, I like that character, but I just haven't been able to get into that Batgirl series, so, you know, I don't know. Did that make everybody else excited, or am I just me?
I don't think it really means anything. I mean, she writes a good ragdoll, and Batgirl could use some cool villains, so that's probably a win.
All right, then. And see, number two, the third entry out of 10 about cancellation. Sorry, see, okay. Stormwatch isn't notable for ending. It's much more notable for the first four words of the solicitation text, a Future's End prelude, which will be the only reason I might read it. Future's End, yes, plural, not possessive, is the other weekly series launching in 2014, where the DC Universe will be taken 5 years into the future, with an air of mystery to the whole series that hasn't yet been lifted. Ironically, Stormwatch number 30 could be the most quote-unquote must-read of the whole series as the final issue. It's an important look ahead at what DC Universe will become. Now, from what I've read or heard, that they, all that reboot retcon stuff that Starlin did, they rebooted, re-retconned it back again in this one. So, whatever. I don't know.
Didn't they say when Stormwatch started that was going to be one of the books to look for, like, for news as to what was happening in DC? And
oh, yeah, they did.
It's going to be I don't think any of that ever happened, right? No. Like, I don't think it ever became the, they're showing this in Stormwatch, and that's what's going to happen in DC.
When Cornell was doing it, I think that was a little bit of that. But when he left the book, or was let go, whichever, it all went to hell after that. It was just a nonsensical mess to me. And I was just about to quit it, and then, you know, Starlin came on, and I was in complete and total shock. So, yeah, anyway.
I can't quit you, man.
Yeah. So, last one. Now, this is my biggest surprise so far. That one of the titles, okay, we'll talk about, see, Aquaman and the Others, which that should be good because I like those characters. Depends on who writes it. Justice League United number 0, Batman Eternal, and also Sinestro gets his own title. But this is, I'm really surprised considering how much they've, the last couple of years, tried not to tell what happened in that 5-year gap or give origins. You know, they're coming out with a secret origins book. An anthology series, they should move those two words around. Ongoing anthology series that tells previously unrevealed and definitive parts of the origins, not the whole thing, just parts apparently, of the New 52 for your favorite heroes and villains. So, interesting.
I think it's brilliant that they're doing Superman in the first issue, though. Yes. It's unnecessary, but I'm glad they did. They didn't start with a bunch of B and C.
Yeah. You're right.
And every issue should feature an A-lister somewhere in there.
Yeah, I agree totally. So there you go. That is April's stuff for the big two, and we've in an hour, and we've also heard. I haven't seen all the details, but. Mr. Kevin on Facebook has commented on how Dynamite seems to be clearing the rounds of things and canceling a bunch of stuff. And according to him, they canceled last issue notices for Lone Ranger, Green Hornet, Shadow, and Grimm. Which, the Lone Ranger that Andy Parks was doing, I've met Andy Parks and he's a nice guy. That, one of the things that I think killed it is they've never made it digital. If it was digital, I would still be reading it. Shadow was good, but it wasn't $4 good to me. The Green Hornet with Mark Waid was the same thing. It was like he wasn't even writing it. I read one issue and never read another one. So anyway, there's that. And I believe we've got her covered. Anything else, gentlemen? No?
Nope. Nothing's jumping out at me.
The Secret Origins book is something that I'm interested in. The only cancellation that bums me out is Suicide Squad. Mm-hmm. The Marvel stuff, you know, Bendis, you know, freaking machine between those three anniversary issues he's going to do. That's a lot of, plus he's going to be doing, I probably still going to be doing Uncanny X-Men that month as well.
Mm-hmm.
And, let's see what else. Guess a machine, and he's, you know, he's been good again lately. I thought it was interesting that there was a lack of Avengers news.
Yeah, there wasn't any in there, was there?
Yeah. But I think that they really need to, they do need to make sure that the focus is not shifted too far away from Guardians of the Galaxy. That needs to get a lot of love from the publishing world leading mm-hmm. up to the movie. Because that's the only place that it has any exposure.
Yes.
And, you know, they'll do the same thing a couple months. They'll do Captain America there as well. But, again, I was just surprised not to see anything Avengers jump out.
Mm-hmm. Agreed.
But the rest of the stuff from DC, it's tough to maintain being a DC fan.
Oh, dear Lord, yes, you are right.
I don't have any love or hate for Stephanie Brown. I actually find it, now that I think about it a little more, I find it a little sad that Gail Simone is having to reach back into her pre-existing bag of tricks and use Ragdoll rather than that's what it's going to require to boost sales a little bit on that book, that,
mm-hmm.
she can't just bring the sales up from good story writing.
Yeah, I agree.
Stunt casting. I think that's what they call it in TV.
Yeah, I would agree. No, I did find one little thing. I don't know if we talked about. I guess the JLU is going to be Jeff Lemire talked on USA Today. Apparently, is going to be partly in space. It's because they're going to have who's going to be in it. Adam Strange, Animal Man, a lot of the characters from books that he is already writing will be in there.
Well, that's because Canada is close to the North Pole, and the North Pole is close to space.
Very good. Yeah.
I think it's because you Canadians have a secret space program that you're not talking about.
That would make sense.
Opening it to the world.
Our secret space program. That would be awesome.
All those pelting and
I am not confirming anything.
Yes.
Not denying.
Yeah, he's really been in space all those times when he was supposed to be pelting and trapping. I would imagine. That's what I'm thinking.
Pelting and trapping aliens.
Mm-hmm. There you go. But yeah, Animal Man, of course, Martian Manhunter, Supergirl, which apparently she's not going to be a Red Lantern anymore. But she left the Earth, didn't she, supposedly? In her book?
I don't know.
I think so. Yeah. Lou Thorne and Justice League, yeah. That's unfortunate. But, yeah, I'm looking through some of these covers on the DC site. But anyway, should be interesting to see that. And
I have to say, you know, with the cancellations, I actually have more of an interest in seeing how Forever Evil is going to, where it's going to go to.
Yeah, I agree.
Clearly, it directly is impacting both Nightwing and Suicide Squad, and I want to see how.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. I know you guys, well, I know Caleb, I don't remember what Bert said, that new Justice League 3000 book. What did you get? I know, Caleb, you said you hated it. What did you think, or did you even read it?
I read the first one, and it was fine. It didn't do anything for me. Like, it was, you know, it was fine.
Well, I was hoping that it wasn't supposed to be a replacement for for Legion, but in the second issue they mentioned Tarkon Galtos and something else that's directly from Legion. I forget what the other one was, but they did mention Tarkon Galtos as being a prison planet. So, there you go.
Yeah, I think it's looking at the 30th century, but I think they're just going to do their own thing and it'll fade away after.
Yeah, apparently in one of the issues coming up, they're bringing back Firestorm.
Firestorm, really?
Yeah, it shows him on the cover.
Huh. Yeah, it's, I don't know, it didn't do anything for me. The art was not my thing, and
well, see, I really like Howard Porter's art, so that's one of the reasons why I'm trying it out. And I kind of like it, even though they're all arguing with each other. I don't know. It's something about it I like. I don't love it, but I like it so far. Until they do something that really makes me mad. But I don't know. Something about it, I kind of, it's piqued my interest, and it's not anywhere near as offensive as some of the other things that DC's been putting out. So
right now, probably on it, when it gets cheaper, but
yeah, is it a $3.99 book? I don't remember.
I think it's $3.99.
Yeah, well, I haven't been buying a lot of the other stuff, so I have a little bit more room to, you know, get it. So anyway.
Gotcha.
That's my thoughts on it, anyway. All right, anything else, gentlemen?
Nope, I got report cards calling my name.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. I got back on the laundry.
I gotta go buy a printer.
Okay.
Ooh.
They're actually really cheap. Printers are cheap.
They get cheaper, it's almost as expensive to buy a new printer as it would be to buy replacement cartridges for the printer that we currently have. So
exactly. That's the way it always is.
Yikes a hootie.
Yeah, I can't wait to see what this Canon one I got, the wireless one. It's got like 5 different cartridges, and I can't imagine what that's going to be like. I got it for like $5 from I had a gift card from Dell, and because I bought a computer and blah, 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 so I might just buy a whole new one and with new cartridges in it when it goes out. It might be cheaper. Anyway.
Okay, guys. All
right, let's wrap this up. As always, you can send us an email to Tales from the Long Box podcast at talesfromthelongbox.com. We're trying to go too fast. And as always, you can catch us up on the Facebook page. Lots of good conversation going there and posting of much, much links. And as always, you can also comment on the actual episodes and let us know what you think. And, you know, we're on iTunes, I hear. And, you know, if you're there and listen and say hi, let us know. Let's know it works, though. Anyway, that's about it for this week. And we
bye-bye.
We are out.